This is Judy Lee on the 19th of February 2020, about to record Merle Pipe in the courtyard. Okay, Merle, you're born in 1941.
Yes, and so my memories are from the latter part of the war, obviously, and the earliest memories that I have are probably of the doodle bugs coming over, and because my father's farm was at Great Totham, overlooks the Blackwater, and that was a guide for them to come up the river. And I can remember being shut in the room under the stairs, which I didn't like very much, so I was quite frightened about that. But I do remember the sound of them, and I can remember on one occasion, after a raid and being taken about under a mile away from our house, and I can remember standing on the edge of an enormous crater where one must have landed.
Do you remember where that was?
Yes, on the Braxted Road.
Right.
Yeah. And people from the village were taken, and I can remember people standing around and looking in this enormous hole, which obviously didn't mean much to me because I was so young.
This is Langford Village?
No, this is Great Totham.
Right, sorry.
Beacon Hill, actually. Mm. And one of our neighbours who... Obviously, the farmhouse that I lived in was a long way. We didn't have any neighbours. And when the doodlebug came down, it was behind a house at the top, about a half a mile away from our house, where a Major Bromage and his wife lived. And he was German, amazingly. And he was... they were quite friendly with my parents. They were pretty well our nearest neighbours. And when my mother was expecting me... And my father was in the Home Guard and had to go ride his bike from Great Totham to Tollesbury every night with his gun across the handlebars. And he always told us he never learnt to slope arms, by the way. And Major Bromage and his wife used to walk down and check that my mother was all right, because she was heavily pregnant with me and she was only 19. And so, and when I was born, they gave... to me, I've got it, a beautiful jewelled evening bag. They obviously wanted to give a gift, and they gave that to me, or to my mother. And that's sort of my very earliest memory. And I also remember helping my mother or make butter, because she made her own butter, and we had a butter churn, and I was allowed to help make the butter. With the churn, and then afterwards we had these little wooden paddles which we patted the butter to get the moisture out. I don't know what that's... sorry, I coughed there. And I don't know what that's called. It's the moisture, is it the whey? I don't know. Anyway, that's what came out of the butter, and we used to pat it. And
where did the milk come from?
Well, I was on a farm, don't forget. So I... didn't really, I mean, I was quite privileged in a way, because we didn't have to go. And my father was very aware that we were lucky that we had cows and chickens and things. But we were very self-sufficient, and we recycled everything. It makes me laugh when I hear about recycling, because we recycled everything. And Dad used to put down snares, and we pretty well lived on rabbits. And I used to watch my mother skinning rabbits, and she used to cut off a paw, and I've still got two little paws that she cut off at some time. And she used to soak the rabbits in salt water overnight, so that they were a bit strong tasting. So I can remember seeing them in the kitchen soaking. But they are really basically my earliest memories. And I'm sure at some time we had land girls, but I don't remember them. I must have been too young. But I know that we did, because I think they were issued with dungarees to wear when they were working on the farm. And my mum had a pair, and she loved them. And I can remember my mum wearing these land girl dungarees. But I don't actually remember the girls themselves. But I do remember the prisoners of war very well. And they came, there was three of them, and my father converted some of the farm buildings to their quarters. They had, I think one of the stables was a sleeping area or a bedroom, and then we used to call it the tomato shed, was where they ate and prepared their meals. And I can remember them very well. One in particular, we called him Beardy. His real name was Eddie, but he had a little beard. And I probably remember him the best because I used to run around with no shoes on, and I caught my toe, and I would be about 3 years old. And I can remember him going down on his haunches and taking me on his lap and cutting the broken toenail with some little clippers that he had. And I can remember him being, I can picture it now, he was very gentle and nice. And it, I think it was because I remember the beard. The beard must have touched me. Mm-hmm. That's why I remember it so well.
What nationality?
German. German, yeah. And then they used to make toys in their spare time. They worked on the farm, and in their spare time they made toys for me. And one of the first ones they made was, it's like a table tennis bat, and they carved out the shape, and then they carved out little chickens which were on the top, and they put string on the chicken and a hole through the bat with a ball underneath, and then when you waved the ball around, the chickens pecked. They made several of those, which I'm afraid we lost them. And they also made, it was like two pieces of wood about 8 inches long with a piece of wood in the middle holding them together. And then at the top, they strung a string across and carved out a little clown. And when you squeezed the bottom of these two pieces of wood, the clown did somersaults. And that's another thing that they made. But the one thing that I did keep was the doll that Eddie made for me. And it, he found a piece of wood on the farm, and he carved the head, and it's got little nose and ears and mouth and blue eyes. He coloured it pink with red cheeks. And the hands and the arms go up as far as the elbow, and the feet and the legs go as far as the knee. And then the rest is made of material, and he asked my father's permission to cut the end off his bed cover to make the body, and it's all stuffed with straw. And then he must have gone round the farm at the barbed wire and pulled off the hair from the animals off the barbed wire and stuck it on, which I'm terribly sorry to say I didn't like very much, and did wash it off later. I didn't like that bit. And when they returned to Germany, they actually wrote letters to my father, which he kept. I hope that he replied, but I don't know whether he did or not.
Where was their camp? Do you know?
In England? I don't know. Oh. I don't know. I don't think my father knew. I mean, information wasn't divulged, really. Mm-hmm. You know, we just had these three chaps, and I can only remember the name of Otto was one, and Eddie was the other one, mm-hmm. who everybody called Beardy. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. They weren't with us a long, long time. Certainly a strawberry season, but I know that because my father was a strawberry farmer, and I know that from their letters, because they talk about the strawberries in their letters.
But well, perhaps we can listen to the letters.
Yes,
later,
yes, okay. Mm. My other memory of the war is my mother's brother, Charlie, and he was a bomber stationed at Hemswell in Lincolnshire. And he started off on Halifax aircraft, and then he moved on to Lancaster's. And he was reported missing in February 1945, because the Lancasters didn't come into the war until towards the end of the war anyway. So that was quite near the end of the war, really. And he was shot down, and he was the only survivor of the crash. And it was over some village near Limburg in Holland. And he survived because his parachute got stuck in a tree, and that's why he survived. And he became a member of the Caterpillar Club, which is quite exclusive. It's people, men who survived a parachute jump and survived. They jumped out and they survived. And he was terribly proud of his caterpillar, a type in. You know, that was pretty nice, really. But he was really treated quite badly when they were shot down. He was taken prisoner. And I think that he was taken by the Germans to a prisoner of war camp, and I can't think of the word. He was interrogated. Yes, he was interrogated quite strongly. I think he was treated quite badly because they thought he had information. But they thought he was the pilot, but he wasn't the pilot. And he didn't really know. He was just a bomb aimer, I think. And so they were trying to get information out of him, which he didn't have anyway. And the only reason that I know that, because he never spoke about it. For the rest of his life, he never talked about the war or anything. And that, which I think is terrible, really. But the only thing is he hated the Germans with a passion because of how he was treated. And the only reason that I know this is because an elderly aunt told me about it. He never talked about it. Which, you know, is quite sad, really. But he had one daughter many years later, and when he died, she actually came across letters that he'd received from members of his squadron and how frightened they... You know, she said it's quite touching reading these letters because he was very frightened. They were very frightened. They were all very young. I mean, Charlie was only 23 when he was on these missions, so to speak. And there was something else I was going to say about his... But he, my dad had great admiration for him because, you know, he felt quite guilty because he was a farmer and he didn't go to war. So he really took great care of Charlie when he came back after the war. He was quite a broken man. And I think in this day and age, he would have had counselling and what have you, but obviously there wasn't anything like that.
Was he physically ill?
No, mentally, I think. He appeared to be all right. But what I would like to go back on is he was a big part of my life when I was little because he used to come and stay with us and visit us. And when I went to the Military Museum in Station Road and a few years ago, and they have a big cabinet with models in uniform of all the different, you know, naval and army. And when I saw the flying one, and he had a leather sheepskin coat on, and I became quite emotional because that's exactly how I remember Charlie when I was little. And he was, I thought he was very handsome, and he spent a lot of time, he tried to teach me to play chess. I don't think he succeeded, but anyway. But he spent a lot of time with us. And he was engaged, you know, before he was shot down. He used to bring girlfriends to stay at our house, probably because he couldn't take them to his own mum's house. And one of them, she was beautiful. Her name was Marie. And I used to like going and getting in bed with her in the morning when she stayed at our house. And he didn't marry her, by the way. And after the war, my mother and father had two more daughters, and they allowed me to name my second sister, and I called her Marie after that. She was a WAF, yeah. So Marie is always going to be there. And when Charlie came back after the war, going back to that, Dad tried to help him. My dad tried to help him, and he acquired some land, and he planted strawberry plants to help get him going. And he went back a couple of months later, and Charlie was sitting reading a book, and all the strawberries were all overgrown and weedy and everything. My dad was pretty cross, but I think he kind of understood. And after that, Charlie came to work, and he worked on our farm with my father till my father died. Dad took care of him. He would do anything for my father, but he just didn't seem to have that, you know. Perhaps he never did, I don't know. I mean, who knows? But when he died, the RAF, he was a bit poorly before he died, and he was taken great care of by the RAF. I must say that. He was taken to a home for ex-RAF people, and when he at his funeral, when he died, we were totally amazed at the number of RAF people who turned up. We had no idea he kept in touch with these people, and they were all at his funeral. So, you know, there must be a camaraderie somewhere along there, mustn't there? All the experiences that they went through.
Do you think he was able to then talk about his experiences with,
Those people? I think that's who he spoke to. He certainly... my son, when he was a teenager, would have loved to have talked to Charlie, but he never wanted to talk about it. But that's really the main part of my memories.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Is that all right?
Do you want me to pause there?
Yeah. Yes.
Do have a drink of water.
Yes. Okay, I was getting a bit dry there. But
oh,